Open your Bibles, please, to the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 tonight. Chapter 5 and verse number 9. I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is the 11th in our study from the relationship between the bride and the bridegroom in the Song of Solomon. Those of you who are visiting tonight, I have not been teaching the Song of Solomon. I have been teaching everything I could find about the way that the bride treated the bridegroom and the bridegroom treated the bride. And tonight, rather unusual study, but I think it's one that we all ought to hear. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse number 9. The question is being asked now to the bride herself. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? Now you notice in the Scopio Bible says the bride answers. This is the bride talking and describing the bridegroom. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as most fine gold. Notice the word gold there. I'll come back to that after a while. His locks are bushy. You almost think Miss Howes is talking here, wouldn't you? And black as a raven. Now, we just left Miss Howes out there. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and pitless set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices. Notice the word spices. I'll come back to that after a while. As sweet flowers. Notice that. His lips are like like lilies. We'll come back to that after a while. Dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. And this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Our Heavenly Father, what a wonderful little book this is. And what a precious relationship existed between this bride and bridegroom. May we somehow emulate that relationship in our marriages, and may we be what we ought to be as husbands and wives as we relate to each other. In Jesus' name, amen. And our Holy Father, we come to the book. What a wonderful book. Seems like it has the answer to everything. Certainly it has the answer to our marriages. I pray tonight we'll find just another answer too. Please. Amen. I want you to look at me and listen carefully and not take any notes, of course. Interspersed throughout the Song of Solomon are words by the bridegroom complimenting and praising the bride. Especially does he take time to describe his feeling that how beautiful that she is. Also interspersed in the Song of Solomon, there are statements by the bride about the groom, and then, of course, about the groom about the bride, complimenting each other. Now, don't ever get away from that. Don't ever get away from complimenting each other. I said Sunday morning something like this: many a woman is craving for a husband just to say some nice things about her. Compliment her beauty, her loyalty, faithfulness, her cooking, her character. Compliment her. Tell her how wonderful she is. Tell her how beautiful she is. Tell her how good she is. Tell her what a faithful person she is. Likewise, there are many men who are craving for a wife to brag on them. Tell him what a wonderful husband he is, and tell him how good-looking he is. In some cases, it's going to be awful hard. but lie about it. Brag, compliment each other. Don't ever get away from that. Now, here's what I want you to notice tonight. Both of these young people were rather awkward in their complimenting each other. For example, he said to her, your belly is like some wheat. That wouldn't just turn me on a great deal. I mean, your neck is like a tower. A giraffe is more like a tower to me. But, we don't realize how strange these things are. But now I want you to follow me. He compares her beauty to wheat, to a tower, to a gate. And there's something about these that are connected to each other. Wheat, a tower, gate, palm tree. He compares her beauty to grapes, a vine, pomegranate, wine, lilies, fish pools. He said, your eyes are like fish pools. I mean, you're about to slap you if you said that. But all of these things are things to which he compares her. I said again, tower, wheat, gate, palm tree, grapes, vine, pomegranate, wine, lilies, fish pools, apples, rose, which is a small deer, a spring, like a water spring, a fountain, streams, a well. He uses all these figures of speech to describe her and her beauty. Now here's something also. She uses a totally different type of figure of speech. For example, when she mentions his attractiveness, she mentions gold, like in jewelry, myrrh, like in perfume, spices, like in cooking, flowers, rings, like you wear on your finger, sapphire, ivory. He's talking about palm trees. She's talking about rings on the finger. He's talking about the fish pools, and she's talking about perfume. He's talking about a tower. She's talking about flowers. Now, it doesn't sound very complimentary. He says, for example, your nose is like a tower. Your head is like a mountain. Your eyes are like fish pools. Your belly is like a heap of wheat. Now, some have bigger heaps than others. I'm closing my eyes. But there are, not very far from here, there are whole fields of wheat. He said, your nose smells like apples. Your teeth like a flock of sheep. Now, that's strange. When Dave was a boy, a little boy, I used to say, how much you love me? He'd say, more than peanut butter. Now to him, that was the ultimate in love. And then to me, that's pretty close to it. How much you love me? And Dave would say, more than Ernie Banks, this ball star, more than banana pudding. Now, if this lover had been a golfer, he'd have said to his bride, your arms are like a five iron. Your eyes are like two golf balls. A baseball player would have said, you have ears like a catcher's mitt. Or a nose like a baseball. If he'd been a farmer, he'd have said, you have a face like a horse. You're built like a plow. And to me, you're a real old hen. You've been a football player, said you have arms like two goalposts. the head like a football. Basketball player said you have hair like a basketball net. You're as pretty as the three-point basket. Now, the other simple truth is, why is this? Why did this man choose his figures of speech? And why did she choose her figures of speech? Remember what I told you last week about the garden he loved so much? All throughout the Song of Solomon, you have a garden that this bridegroom dearly loved to go to. To him, it was his retreat. It was his vacation. It was his day off. It was his hiatus. Remember how he went down and said he gathered lilies in the garden? And other things, he loved to visit this garden. So, it came time for him to describe how much he loved his bride. He used things from the garden. I mentioned a while ago, the tower, the gate, the palm tree, the grapes, the vine, the pomegranates, the wine, the lilies, the fish pools, the apples, the rose, a spring, a fountain, streams, a well. Why? Because this was his favorite place. And for him to say that your neck is like a tower was a big compliment for him. Not to her, not necessarily so. Now, why didn't God choose someone a bit smoother? Don't forget the story of the Song of Solomon. Here was a shepherd lad who had a girlfriend, a sweetheart. She loved him dearly, and he loved her dearly. One day, Solomon was taking a trip, and Solomon saw this beautiful girl, and Solomon wanted to add her to his harem. He wanted to make her his number one wife at the present time, and he came to her and said, I'd like to put you in my harem. You call this the shepherd's theory of the Song of Solomon, and I think it's the true one. He said, would you come with me? She said, no, I won't come. He said, I'll give you riches. She said, I'm in love with my shepherd boy. He said, I'll give you a beautiful wardrobe. She said, no, I'm not interested. I want my shepherd boy. He said, I'll give you a palace and mansion to live in. She said, not interested. I want my shepherd boy. And Solomon could do nothing to persuade her. Now, wait a minute. Solomon was a smoothie. He was a smooth talker. He'd already talked 700 women into marrying him. And he's engaged to 300, had 300 combines. Now, the truth is, he wished they had been combines later on. The truth is, Solomon, this shepherd boy couldn't compare with Solomon. Solomon wouldn't have come to her and said, you've got eyes like windows in the palace. He'd have come to her with smooth talk. Now, you beware of these smooth talkers. You girls beware of these fellows who are experienced enough to know how to say it. This little shepherd boy was awkward. Now, why didn't God choose someone more polished and more refined? Because the simple truth is, most of us are awkward in our expressions of love. Most of us are no Romeo or no Juliet. We're not perfect lovers. We somehow want what the novelist writes about and the movie shows, but they don't exist in reality, in life. But there's a sincerity here that I like. The thing that I want to say tonight is if your husband loves you, you take whatever expression he gives you and thank God for it. Don't you expect him to follow the, listen to me now, don't expect him to follow the line of the smooth talker. You just, he walks up to you and says, you got arms like five iron. You say, oh, I've always wanted five iron arms. He says, your hair is like a basketball net. I mean, if he loves you, you accept whatever expression of love that he gives to you and thank God for it. And don't want a smoothie. I thank God. For the simplicity of these expressions of love. This is no suave Romeo. This is just a good, solid shepherd lad. Time to tell her that he loves her. I want to say something carefully. I'm very, very careful to say this. You young men, when you marry one of our clean, virgin, pure young ladies who kisses a man for the first time at this on this platform right here, don't you expect her to be an experienced Juliet. She's awkward. And young ladies, when you marry a decent young man who's clean and pure, and your lips are the first ones that he ever touched, don't you expect him to know all about lovemaking? Don't you expect him to know all about how to sweep you off your feet? I like to see at a wedding, when time comes to kiss, I like to see an awkward kiss. I don't like to see two of you folks coming to your mouths open like going to swallow a cantaloupe. That bothers me. It does. I had a wedding a few years ago, and boy, they were, mouths open when they came to each other. What do they call those? French kisses? I'm not sure what they are. I'm not against them after you're married, but I'll tell you what, if you're that experienced, don't ask me to marry you. Get a justice of peace to do it. but I like to see when the time comes, he doesn't know what to do. So they go, I love it. I love it. And every time I see one of them come at each other like they've been practicing for a year or two, I want to slap them in the head as they walk off the platform. And I may do it someday. But I want to say this tonight. If you get a pure girl, she's got to learn with you. If you get a pure young man, he's got to learn with you. And so, I think God chose this couple. Awkward? Yes, awkward. Because most decent, godly, Christian young people are awkward in their expressions of love. You've been watching too many movies. You've been looking at too many television programs. You've been learning how the world does it. Oh, I love what Tom Bogle's daughter, which one was it? Who? Yeah, Esther. She got married to Dan Ruff, isn't it, Dan Ruff? And so she called home on the honeymoon. She said, Mom, this kissing is fun. I like that. Both. I like that she called her. Kissing is fun, too. But that's what I'm talking about. This is awkward. Sure it's awkward. Your neck is like a tower. Your eyes look like fish pools. They're floating around. I thank God tonight. When I got married, I was not an experienced person. I was in grade school. I didn't get married when I was in grade school, but we were engaged. But my mama told me, she said, if you do bad little girls, they could have babies. Oh, my soul. Joy Bird sit right in front of me in class, and had one of these, her back of her seat was hooked onto my desk. And she had long hair, and it was tied in pigtails. It would lay down on my desk, and I'd pull those pigtails during class. And I thought, she's going to have a baby. Mama said, if you do bad to a girl... When I was 17 years old, we had a lady came to our high school and preached on the fact you get these girls in trouble, they're going to get babies before they're married if you don't cut all this holding hands. I thought, oh, that's it. I was 17 years old. So I put my hands in my pocket going down the hallway And just so my hand wouldn't touch a girl as I was swinging, going down that big stool in the hallway. You know I'm telling the truth. Okay, I was 15 years old. 14? 7. But I thank God tonight that I was not experienced. I talked to John Rice one time. I said, Rice, he had married daughters. I said, when did you tell your daughters the facts of life? He said, after they got married. I said, you believe in sex education in public schools? And Dr. Rice said, I don't believe in sex education anywhere. I believe I'll get married ignorant. Oh, that's not the modern psychologist this generation. That's not the modern counselor of this generation. The honest, simple truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we need a bunch of naive young people. We need a bunch of amateur lovers at the altar. We need a bunch of people like this young man here. He didn't say that the moon reflects in your eyes and your face is as smooth as something, whatever smooth. But he didn't say that. He had a garden and he would hang around the garden a lot. And to brag on her, he thought the best thing he could think of. He thought those fish pools and he said, your eyes remind me of the fish pools, and your neck is like a tower. And he used such things as the palm tree and the vine, the pomegranate and the wine, the lilies, the fish pools, the apples, the roses. And she used such things as jewelry like gold, perfume like myrrh, cooking like spices, flowers, rings, sapphire, and ivory, and so forth. That was understanding. I think any woman would rather have you say, you're the loveliest thing that ever breathed a breath, and your face is as smooth as satin, and for you to say your eyes look like fish pools. But I want to tell you something tonight, ladies, listen carefully. And you don't you miss this, and this may be as important as anything I've said in this whole study. If your man loves you, you thank God for it. And whatever expressions he gives you, you thank God he loves you. And quit comparing him with the late Rock Hudson. Well, I shouldn't use him. He wasn't a very good... He was a queer. You queers, quit comparing your lovers with Rock Hudson. So you guys expect your lovers to be Liberace. You quit comparing your husband with Clark Gable or some movie star. Let me remind you that those last a year or two usually. And sometimes, listen to me, sometimes a few months. You listen to me carefully. You young ladies, don't you go for these guys at the college that sweep one after the other off their feet. You go for the guy that's sort of crude a little bit, but he works the bus route every Saturday. A guy that, maybe he wears white socks with a navy blue suit, doesn't know any better. But if he works, has character, honor, integrity, don't expect him to be a smooth operator. Expect him to be a man, an honest man, a decent man, and a clean man, and thank God for it. You young men, don't look around with these little girls that trapped other guys. They know the ways of the world. They know the ways of life. They have seduced others, maybe not all the way to physical immorality, but to embracing and kissing and hugging and so forth. You just find you a sweet little girl that sort of got that wild look in her, wide-eyed looking out wild, that... Boy, I got some amens on that one, didn't I? that wide-eyed look in their eye, her eye, that innocent look that knows how to blush still, that knows how to walk up and down the streets of Chicago on a Saturday, on a snowy day, and tell the bus boys and girls that God loves them. Somebody that's clean and decent and pure, makes good grades in school, doesn't get into demerits or offenses and so forth. You find one, you know, that second echelon is a pretty good place to look for a wife. That first echelon, the gal that knows exactly how to do it, you watch her. She's learned somewhere. You try to find somebody who's not experienced. Now, I tell you what, these guys won't sweep you off your feet like the smoothies will. I mean, a guy has on the white socks, he's not going to sweep you off your feet. I tell you what he'll do sometimes. He'll be there when the smooth is gone. If he loves you, you take whatever expression of love he offers and thank God for it. Years ago, Mrs. Hiles and I were talking, and Cindy, our baby girl, had left, and she told me she loved me. And Mrs. Hiles said she didn't tell me she loved me. I wish she'd have told me that when she left. She didn't tell me that. Oh, I said, yes, she did. Yes, she did. No, I didn't hear her. Oh, I said, yes, she told you she loved you. I said, not long before she left, she had a phone call. And if you remember correctly, that somebody asked her if she could go somewhere tonight, and she said, no, my mother's going to be home tonight alone. I'm going to stay with her. I said, she was telling you she loved you. And Ms. Hiles said, well, I wanted to tell me out loud that she loved me like she told you. I said, baby, you take whatever you can get in the teenager. If she just don't say, I hate you, take that as a compliment. But I'm saying, whatever language it is, if he loves you, you thank God for the way he tells you. Now, I want to tell you something. Most of the men in this room tonight are not, not Clark Gables. What's the guy? Don Juan, yeah. Who knew that? This whole Bible study with people like you tonight. The guy in this room was Don Juan. If it tried to be Don Juan, they'd swallow their feet. They'd trip. Most of the men in this room tonight are just good, solid, decent Christian men who don't know the ways of the world, but they know that they love their wife. Have you got one of those guys that, I tell you what, the guy that can woo you can woo somebody else. But you got a good, steady guy that is honest and works hard and goes to church and loves God. Don't expect him to sweep you off your feet like a Don Juan. Thank God for whatever love you can get. I remember several years ago, we had a football player in our church. Back in the days, we had a high school football team. Big old guy. I expect he weighed 225 pounds. He came by my office one day, and I said, what do you want, son? He said, I want to tell you something, Pastor. I said, what is it? He said, I want to tell you something. Well, I said, what is it you want to tell me? Well, I just want to tell you something. Well, I said, well, what is it? He said, I want to tell you. Well, I said, you tell me you want to. What is it? Well, I just want to tell you that. I just want to tell you that. I just want to tell you. Well, I tell you I love you. He didn't walk up to me and say, you're the most wonderful pastor in the whole world. He didn't walk up to me and he said, you're the greatest preacher that ever lived. He'd walk up to me and say, "You're the best Bible teacher that ever breathed a breath," though all those things are true. He didn't walk up to me and say those things. But I got the message. And brother, I'd rather have that than these. You know, everywhere I go, I got these young people that know the language. "Dr. Hiles, I have heard so much of you. Certainly you are the great giants of our day." I want to say, "Then get out of the way, pygmy, I'm coming through. Don't give me all that stuff. Don't give me the guy that told Tom Neal the same thing when he came through. Told John Vapersen the same thing when he came through. He did not tell Dean Miller the same thing when he came through." Nobody appreciates a man that won't admit he's a visitor. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was at a church. This kid walked up, about 16 years of age. "Dr. Hiles, it is the honor of my life to meet you. I've wanted all my life to shake hands with the great Dr. Jack Hiles." There it is. Do it. To impress me. You give me a guy that comes up and very shyly and timidly says, "That's a good sermon." Awkwardly expresses appreciation. Don't give me these professional complimenters, professional lovers, professional expressors. Just give me that sincere old guy that follows a plow all day long. Now you listen to me, ladies. You listen to me. If you've got beside your name the name of a person who's your husband, and that man loves you, he doesn't know all of the ways to do it, he doesn't know all of the methods of expressing it, but if he loves you, you set your receiver to fit his speaker, and you decide you're going to like what he gives if he loves you. Don't expect your mate to be like the books and the movies. The first thing and the most important thing to do is to enjoy being loved. Enjoy the fact that you are loved. And secondly, and a distant second, enjoy the expressions. Those of you who were here know all about this. Those of you that were not here need to know all about it. Roy Moffitt's not here tonight. Where is Roy? What are you doing up there? Well, somebody is sitting in your seat. You could have been down in the front row. This room right here. God have mercy on your soul. You folks that weren't here need to know about this. It was Roy and JoJo's anniversary. Roy had forgotten about it. Shut up, Roy. Roy had forgotten about it. He and his little boy. How old was your son then? 6 years old. He was out with his son. It was getting dark. It dawned on Roy he had forgotten his anniversary. He tried to find something open. Nothing was open. Tried to find florist open. Nothing was open. He and his little boy driving down the road, and there was a cemetery, and there was a fresh grave there where they just laid flowers. That Roy Moffitt goes over there and picks a huge bouquet of flowers up, steals them, does it in Jesus' name, but steals them, and takes them home to JoJo. And JoJo says, "Oh," he says, "happy anniversary, sweetheart." "Roy, they're beautiful. Oh, I've never seen such a beautiful bouquet. Oh, I love you, Roy. I love you. Where did you get this beautiful bouquet?" little six-year-old boy said he got him out where the dead man, their dead people live. For 7 days, JoJo never said a word to him. And if she'd applied for divorce, I'd have signed the papers. Now, JoJo, what you should have done was, oh, isn't that wonderful? You would steal for me. The happiest marriages in this world are not the picture book marriages. The happiest marriages in this world are not the ideal marriages. The happiest marriages in this world were a simple, sweet, loving woman loves her man and hasn't read the books on how to express it yet and hasn't had the experience of expressing it, so she may be a little awkward while she does it. Married to a man that doesn't know the ropes, doesn't know the expressions, and doesn't know the lines. He knows one thing. He knows he loves the woman. And he can't express it like others because he's not as experienced as others. He hasn't had woman after woman after woman after woman that he's told he loves, loves her. He's just old Joe. Just old Joe. Randy Erickson comes out of my office sometimes. Randy and I have a lot of memories that we share. A lot of memories of heartaches we shared together. A lot of victories we shared together too. And Randy may just stop and look at me. And maybe a tear rolled down his eye. And maybe he'll say, I love you. And walk out. These men on the staff have different ways of expressing their love to me. Such words as, whatever you say, preacher. Such words as, Brother Ray Young says it. Somebody asked him, Brother Young, how old are you, by the way?
41.
He's 41 years old. I'm 70. That means if we live to the same age, he'll live 29 years without me alive. They asked Brother Ray Young, what are you going to do when Dr. Hiles is gone? Brother Young says, I never think about it. I just plan to live till he's gone. And then I'll decide then. Now that says I love you. Brother Young has ever walked up to me and said, Pastor, thou art the giant of our day. I'd say, you've been drinking again. There's one man on the staff, works here. Just pats me on the back. That's all. Just pats me on the back. Another man that works here, he's on the platform now. He's on the platform now. Pats me a note every Wednesday. Every Wednesday. Another man on the platform right now has a letter waiting for me everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. Another man on the platform right now leaves me two binoculars every Wednesday night. They last about 15 minutes. Two binoculars every Wednesday night. Puts them under my door. Now, I don't get those binoculars and say, come here, fella. Tell me like a man that I am great. He says, Dr. Hiles, thou art the greatest giant of our generation. Thank God it's my privilege to work. Just give me the binoculars. I'm thinking right now, Brother Tom, you know, Neil knows what I'm talking about. This smoothie came to Hiles Anderson College. Brother Tom sent him to us. That's the kind he usually sends. This smoothie came to Hiles Anderson College. Came to me the first time that they was here, and he said, Dr. Hiles, I'd like to supply your needs. If there is anything that I can do, Dr. Hiles, I insist that you contact me. I want to stick an ice pick in his eyeball. I can spot a phony quickly. Wasn't long that fellow was in so much trouble around here. He told you the same thing, Brother Scott told me. He told that some of you guys, they say the same thing, Brother Ray. And most folks don't want to do anything for you. But I'm thinking about the first times I met some of these guys. Jeff Owens graduated from our college. I didn't know who he was. No apple polisher. But Jeff Owens, you know what Jeff Owens tells me he loves me? He tells his Sunday school class, he says, Brother Howes loves you. I want you to know Brother Howes loves you. And Brother Owens wrote me a note and he said, I'm going to spend all of my life, all the rest of your life, Brother Howes, trying to tell people how much you love. I like that. I like that. Let me give you quickly some ways to say I love you. Say it. That's first. Say it. Say it. But if it's hard for you to say, then do something hard. Tell your wife you love her. Tell your husband you love him. And don't wait till he tells you every time or she tells you every time. Sometimes you just say it yourself, and I mean often. Well, how often should I tell a wife I love her? Oh, I wouldn't do it more than 50 times a day if I were you. It ought to be more than once a day. I promise you, more than once a day, each mate ought to have an unsolicited and unresponding I love you said to a mate. Number two, phone calls, surprise phone calls. Pick up the phone sometime. You guys at work at night, that'd be good. Call about 2 o'clock in the morning. Hey, baby. I tell you this, a fellow named Martin Spell and I used to do that to people. We went to college, a seminary together, and we had to get up about 3 o'clock in the morning to drive over there. We'd stop about 3:15 and call some of our friends. Hey, Joe, how you doing? Fine. Fine. How's the family? Oh, okay. Okay. Everybody well? I guess so. Just called to tell you I'm thinking about you, Joe. I used to call our kids on their birthdays. I'd be out of town preaching, maybe. There's a birthday. I'd call the schools out there. Say, I want to talk to Linda, Cindy, or Becky. I'd come to the phone, the office. And I'd sing happy birthday and ruin their birthday. I would call, okay, sit. Then a telegram. Call your wife at various times. Call your husband at various times just to say I love you. A telegram. I was sitting in a motel room. Cindy was in high school. She's having a little few problems with some classes and grades, and she'd been expelled for drinking and smoking and dope. And I knew she was discouraged. I sent her a telegram at school one day. And they took the telegram to the classroom and up the classroom, gave it, and it said, Cindy, I love you, Dad. The next week, I was preaching up in Rosemont, Minnesota. I was on the platform. Somebody walked up and handed me a piece of paper. All it said was, I love you too, Cindy. That was the next week. That's the response she made. Be surprised what a telegram says, I love you, do for your husband or for your wife. Or how about a poem? Cindy wrote me a poem. I used to say, Cindy, she'd say, buddies. What are we? I've forgotten. We are, buddies. And Cindy wrote me a poem my birthday. It said, all we will always be buddies. She framed it, gave it to me. It's on my little credenzas in my office. You say, I'm no poet. It doesn't make a difference. Your wife's not asking you to be a Shakespeare. Your husband's not asking you to be the next Edgar Allan Poe. Or I say something wrong? Edgar Allan Poe, he's pretty morbid. Okay. But Mrs. Poe was sort of a depressed type person herself. And they had some Poe kids too, but anyway. one note at a different time, when least expected. I go out to college. The day Miss Howes is out there, before I got out there, and we have a little office place where both of us share, and she left me a little love note out there at the place. A note, when least expected. A greeting card. Plain one, please. Squeeze of the hand. A letter. I like a crossword puzzle. And she works it and it says, I love you with all my heart. Or maybe some Bible words from different verses in the Bible. Say, look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, words 4 through 7. And then go to the next one and it says, you're the most wonderful person I know. Something like that. Now, let me say it, and I want to get through here. And this is very simple, as you know, but it's also very important. Practically every single marital problem that comes up is because the wife is expecting something that she did not get. Or the husband is expecting something he did not get. You read too many books, you watched too many movies, you watched too many television programs, and you decided what marriage was going to be like. Now, I'll tell you something, folks. Look. I'm no Cadillac pastor. I'm a Ford. I'm no Rolls Royce. I'm a Plymouth Sundance. I'm no filet mignon. I'm ground beef. And you're going to be ground beef too, son. But let me say something. Do you know one reason you're sitting here tonight? Because you know that this old man loves you. And you know that. And you know this old man is sometimes is awkward in how he says it. I have no line. I have no polish. I'm just a country preacher. But I love the people here. And I love you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in your marriages, accept that if he loves you, you thank God your man loves you. And if he doesn't express it like you always dreamed that he would, then you change your dreams. If you've got a wife that loves you, she may not be the Donna Juan. It's amazing the words God gives me while I'm speaking. She may not be Donna Juan, but if she loves you, you take the language that she gives you. Now, I will say this. That doesn't mean that you're not supposed to express your love. I love yous are supposed to be very plentiful in every marriage. I'm talking about the words, I love you. They may be spoken over a telephone. They may be spoken in a note. They may be spoken in a letter. They may be spoken in a telegram. They may be spoken person to person. But use them. And then accept whatever kind. This gal here, he says, your eyes are like fish pools. I don't find anything here where she said, oh, come on, that's the best you can do. I'll find. But Solomon could have done better. I find just Solomon wouldn't have said, your neck's like a tower, your breast's like apples. I find just Solomon wouldn't have said that your belly is like a heap of wheat, big heap. Solomon wouldn't have said that. Solomon would have been suave and smooth, but could not. He had 1,000 experiences already. He'd learned. You give me the guy that loves his wife. Maybe he's awkward. Maybe he doesn't know how to kiss with his mouth open. Maybe he doesn't know all the tricks of the trade. But he loves you. He loves you. And you give me the woman. Maybe she's not experienced worldly wise, but she loves you. I think that's one reason why God gave us this little story here. I think that's why that they use these strange figures of speech. Because the bridegroom was simply saying, I know garden language. That's all I know. I'll tell you how much I love you. I can only use the things that are most precious to me. And my garden is most precious to me. And she said, well, I can only use the things that are most precious to me. And perfume and flowers and jewelry and the like are the things that I like the best. We say, I love you with all my heart. The word heart simply means the seat of affection. I love you with all my heart. Did you know that there are countries in the world that they say, I love you with all my liver? And there are countries in the world that think that the kidneys are the seat of affection, and a boyfriend looks at his girlfriend and says, I love you with all my liver. Or kidneys. Now, I prefer heart. But I'd rather have a gal that loved me with all of her liver that loved me than a gal that said she loved me with all of her heart and didn't love me. So this gal took the love as he expressed it in his best way. And he took her love as she expressed it in her best way. I love simple people. That's why I love you so much. I love simple people. I don't like pretentious people. A fellow comes to my office, a pastor. Good morning, Dr. Hiles. This is the goal of my life. The dream has been fulfilled to come in and look at you and shake hands with the mightiest man of God of our generation. I want to throw up on him. Give me a fellow walks in, looks at me, and maybe cries a bit. Says, boy, I'm glad to see you. I heard about this place. I heard about you. I just came by to thank you for what you meant to me and done for me. You give me that guy. College students, you look for the simple little gal that knows how to love and knows how to work and knows how to be honest. And you give me the simple guy, college girls, you give me the simple guy who's not very pretentious, doesn't know the line, doesn't know the words or the lingo, but he knows how to love. And I think that's why the Lord gave us this. The Lord didn't have Solomon telling the girl how much he loved her, because we're not Solomons. We're just common Joes and Joans. That's all we are. And God wants us to love each other with all of our hearts. Now, there are different ways we express it. But whatever way we express it, let's just thank God that we're loved. We're going to have a business meeting. I got to. You folks have...